Please take your Bibles now and turn together to Psalm 61. Psalm 61, this has been our Psalm of the Month together, and we get the opportunity to consider it tonight as our sermon text. Psalm 61, there is a simple outline in your bulletin if you would like to use that. But once again, let us give our attention to the living and active Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, Psalm 61. To the choir master with stringed instruments of David. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings, Selah. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. May he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him. So I will ever sing praises to your name as I perform my vows day after day. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity now to sit together around your word and hear your word. And Lord, as David prayed so long ago, we pray together now, Lord, lead us to the rock that is higher than I, that is higher than us. Lead us to our rock. Let us behold him with faith. Convict us, encourage us, comfort us. Use your word in our midst and in our hearts and lives. We ask now with faith in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you do when your heart is faint? What do you do when your heart is faint? When you feel distant from God? When you feel alone and in need? Maybe that describes you tonight. Maybe that's the way you're feeling tonight. What do you do? Or what will you do when that time comes? Well, Psalm 61 shows us a time when David felt this way. But what we see as we look at the words of David is that David doesn't wallow in self-pity or despair. What he does is that he goes to the Lord. He cries out to the Lord in prayer. He turns to the Lord as his rock. He looks to God as his tower. What we see here is that David responds to his crisis not with some special technique, not with some secret human courage or grit. David doesn't find something deeper and stronger in himself, but rather with faith, we see him looking beyond himself and above himself, going to his Creator and his Redeemer. Going to God, remembering his care, trusting in his promises. And the result, by the time we get to the end of the psalm, is that he is praising God. He ends in praise. He starts faint and distant and very needy. And he ends with confidence and praise and service of God, renewed and strengthened. And there's a lot we could see here tonight, but what I want you to see tonight in particular is that this is possible for you and for me as well. This didn't work for David because he was some unique super Christian. This worked because of the grace of God. It was the grace of God who is the same today and who is a rock and a refuge for all who call on him, for all who trust in him, for all who go to him in need with faith. He's a rock and a refuge ultimately because Christ is King and Christ is the rock. And Christ knew far greater distress and distance and suffering. And he did so to sympathize with us and to save us, to save sinners who trust in him, and to comfort the weak and to shelter the needy. And so the amazing hope of this psalm and the call of this psalm is that when your heart is faint, when you are discouraged and overwhelmed, when you are afraid, and really at all times, and all of us are needy, weak sinners as humans, we need to see here that we can go to the rock. We can seek refuge in Jesus. We can find confidence and comfort and joy in the rock. This is what we can do, and this is what we must do. And so, brothers and sisters, the simple call of God from Psalm 61 tonight is to rest in the rock. Rest in him. Seek shelter in Jesus. Well, let's consider that in greater detail together as we look at Psalm 61 tonight. And the first thing I want us to see that David does is that he makes a request. He makes a request. And this is what you and I need to do. We need to call out to the rock, call out for the rock, request his help, cry out to him. Look again with me at verses 1 and 2. Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. We find David here crying out, praying to God, because he's far from God. Perhaps he's alone. He's calling to God from the ends of the earth, he says. There are many theories about when or where this psalm was perhaps penned, but we're not told in the psalm itself. It really could have been many different times in the life of David. But what is clear is that he is in distress, and he seems to be far from home and far from God. And he feels defenseless and weak and afraid. And he says here, my heart is faint. It's weak. Lord, I'm feeble. I'm overwhelmed. Literally, my heart is covered over with fear, with anxiety, with depression. It's clear to us as we read this, that David is just exhausted. He's worn out and worn down. Do you know what this feels like? Can you relate to David? Can you relate to these opening words? Can you relate to him physically, spiritually? And one of the things that's striking about this psalm is that this is a psalm of David. Think about who David is. David is this fearless, mighty warrior. The one who, as a boy, killed lions and bears watching the sheep in the wilderness all on his own. The one who, again, as a boy, stared down Goliath. This is David, the mighty king. This is David, the man after God's own heart. And he's being brutally honest here. Brutally honest about the fact that he's weak. He's distant. He's lonely and depressed and in need. And we're not told why. There are a lot of causes that could have led to this raw honesty here, this crying out to God. Perhaps David is overwhelmed with sin or temptation or the consequences of sin. Maybe he's struggling with doubt. Maybe he is engaged in spiritual warfare. He's experiencing persecution. There may have been more physical factors to where he was. Sleeplessness, exhaustion, sickness, stress. being away from home, being in physical danger, being surrounded by enemies, dealing with physical pain. Whatever the cause, we find this man of valiant courage and faith at a low point, weak, faint, vulnerable. And I'm sure that most of you can relate to this. Maybe some of you are feeling it to a certain extent tonight. The reality is, sooner or later, and at times more often than not, no matter how mature or gifted you are, no matter how long you may have been following the Lord, you'll be like David here, feeling weak, small, needy, distant, prone to sin, depressed, exhausted, discouraged, faint of heart. And that's part of life in this broken world of sin and pain. But the right response is not to pretend that it's not there. It's not to try to be strong in yourself, to seek escape in the things of this world, or to look inward, but to look outside of yourself, to look above yourself, to the one who is higher than you, to look to the rock, to cry out to him, to look to the one who can relate in a complete way, who experienced all of this as a man, as the suffering servant. And this is what David is doing here. He doesn't wallow in his weakness. He doesn't make excuses. He looks up and he makes a simple request. He cries. He prays. He calls out to the Lord, "Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer." And at the heart of his opening prayer is this simple but profound request in verse 2. "Lead me to the rock." Lead me to the rock. Kids, remember that phrase. Memorize it from this passage tonight. And have it in your heart and your mind when you are afraid and needy and sad and weak. And simply ask God to lead you to the rock. That's David's request. I need someone higher than me, stronger. I need a place of hiding and defense and refuge. Someone secure and strong. Take me there. That's his request. And that's what you and I must do. That's where we must go. And not just when we're afraid and faint and needy and lonely, but daily. We need to daily cry out to and depend on and request God's help and pray. Make this request. Use these very words. Make this request yours. Lead me to the rock. Lord, take me to Jesus. David is making this request because he knew he could count on the Lord. He had been there before. And so David, after he requests the Lord to be his rock, to lead him to the rock, David remembers God being his rock. And that's something that you and I must do as well. And that's what I want us to consider second tonight. Request God's help and then remember God's faithfulness and his deliverance in the past. Look at how David does this in verses 3 and 5. David remembers, "For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy." And then in verse 5, "For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name." Lord, lead me to the rock. Why? Because I've been there before, and it's a place of refuge. It's a strong tower against the enemy. David is saying here, God, you are the rock, and you have been my refuge. He remembers that he can count on the Lord. He can go to him in trouble and find peace and rest, comfort and safety and security. And that's the meaning behind this simple name, this simple picture for God, rock. It's actually a very frequent picture in the Bible. A rock was a symbol of safety and security. You could hide in a rock. You could defend yourself from a rock. Rocks were firm and fixed, unmovable, a symbol of strength. If you were outnumbered or being attacked, you don't want an open field or a tree or a stream. You want a high place. You want a rock. Some of the younger men in the room will tell you that's the case from their experience playing airsoft. You need something up high, something strong. You need a refuge. David knew all of this. He had sought safety and protection, physical safety, in rocks and in caves before, many times. Rocks and high places were used for refuge and concealment and defense. And so for David to call on God to lead him to the rock was to call for the protection and security and foundation and peace and strength and unmoving help of God himself. The deliverance, the salvation of God that he had known and that he had trusted. This is what he's remembering. He was faint, he was vulnerable, and he needed a strong, high rock. And he knew that God would be a rock for him because God had been so before many times and in many specific ways. And brothers and sisters, I wonder if you can remember times when God was a rock for you, a refuge for you, at times when he delivered you in a very obvious way from a sickness, from a trial, from a particular sin, when he gave you peace and comfort that you could feel, when he took your pain or your sorrow, when he delivered you. David is also comforted in verse 5 by remembering how God had heard his prayers and vows in the past. In the Old Testament, vows were often a committed and concrete response of thanksgiving and praise to a specific act of grace or deliverance from God. And he looks back on some of those, and he also takes comfort in the fact of his heritage, God's grace and blessing given to him. Friends, do you do that when you are faint? Do you look back at what God has done for you, what he has been for you? Do you remember the heritage God has given you in the gospel, in your freedom from sin, in your life in Christ, in your adoption as his children? The hope and the peace that he's given you, the eternal life he's given you, the heritage he's given you with the people of God. It's an awesome inheritance. It's something to remember and to rejoice in, and it's reason to take comfort and to keep coming back to the Lord as your rock. When life on earth is fleeting and painful and dangerous, remember your eternal inheritance, your ultimate heritage, which is secure and unfading. Well, brothers and sisters, remember your rock. You can trust him. Remember when he's delivered and cared for you in the past. And I'm not sure that this is something that we do very well. Remember the heritage he's given you. This is one of the ways God gives hope and peace and strength when you are faint. This is a biblical way in which he strengthens your faith. Well, third, after his request, after remembering his rock, David now rests in the rock. And so I want us to consider that third tonight, how we must rest. Rest in the rock. Look again with me at verse 4. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. This is another request here in verse 4, but there's a note of confidence and comfort here as well. He's called upon his rock. He's remembered his care and blessing. And there's a desire and a confidence that he can find rest now in the Lord, in God's presence. And he uses two more beautiful pictures here, the picture of a tent and also the picture of wings. Let me dwell in your tent. Let me rest under your protection in close, intimate proximity with you. Let me be in your presence, in your worship. You see, David wants to be with God, near him. He wants to be in worship, in the tabernacle, in the abode of God. And then he says, let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. Kids, I wonder if you've ever seen chicks finding shelter under the wings of their mother hen. Tiny, weak, vulnerable chicks will run under their mother's wings by instinct whenever there's any threat, and they just disappear under her. And you don't even know that they're there because their mother completely covers them. David wants to rest in God, find shelter in God in this way. He knows he can cry out and find rest and safety in the mercy and the love, the forgiveness, the help of God. It's a little bit like running to your mom and dad when you're hurt and afraid. Friends, do you know that you can take refuge and find rest in God in this way? Do you think of him? Do you trust in him in this way? As a place of safety, a person of safety and security. Forgiveness, rest. And if not, where do you seek for these things? Where do you look for rest? Who or what is your rock? Your refuge? Where do you look instead? There are all sorts of fake rocks and shelters out there that offer rest and protection, but in the end, they do not deliver. They don't ultimately give us comfort. They don't give us forgiveness. They don't give us life. There's only one rock that lasts and that ultimately works, and that rock is Jesus Christ. Now, he is the rock that you need, and he is the rock where David's ultimate rest was found. And this language and picture of wings here in verse 4 may perhaps be a reference to the wings of the cherubim over the Ark of the Covenant, covering the mercy seat. That was the place of God's presence, the focus of his presence, where blood was sprinkled once a year on the Day of Atonement in the Holy of Holies by the high priest. And of course, that was ultimately pointing ahead to the atonement of Jesus Christ, the covering, the shelter that he alone would ultimately provide for sinners by his death on the cross. Well, David rests in God's presence, in his shelter, his mercy. We also see here that he rests in God's promises. And he actually crafts a confident prayer based on them in verses 6 through 7. And I want you to look at those verses with me now. Verses 6 and 7. He says, "Prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. May he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him." I want you to notice in these verses how David prays for he, for him, and for the king. This is all in the third person. Even though David is the king, and David is in need, but David doesn't have himself primarily in mind in these verses. Yes, he's king. Yes, he expects and hopes for God to preserve him and deliver him and help him be steadfast and faithful. But I think David is thinking of someone else. I think David's thoughts are ultimately on the king, the one whose years would never end, the one who would be enthroned forever. His hope is in someone above and beyond him, in someone greater than him. I think David here is actually claiming and praying the promises God had made to him in 2 Samuel 7. Promises about a never-ending throne, a never-ending king and kingdom. Promises ultimately filled in King Jesus. So this promise, this prayer for the king, reached beyond Israel, reached beyond just the throne of David in Jerusalem, and found its fulfillment in Jesus, who would live forever, who does live forever, who lives forever after conquering death, who shed his blood for atonement, who alone can dwell in God's tent, who's forever enthroned before God, who is forever steadfast in love and faithfulness. David here is resting in God's promises, specifically the promise of a Messiah, an everlasting, faithful, and loving king. His hope is not in himself. It's not in an earthly kingdom or deliverance, ultimately. It's in the King, King Jesus. And he could rest in that fact, even though he had not yet come. Jesus was still very far off. Brothers and sisters, if David could rest in it in that way, before he'd ever even come, how much more should we? Because Christ has now come. He is right now on the throne forever after having conquered sin and death, after entering into the Holy of Holies for us. We have even more reason than David to see him and trust him clearly and to find rest in him. If you think it's a stretch that David is resting in the promise of Jesus, look at Acts chapter 2. Beginning in verse 29, we heard this morning. Now, Peter says that as a prophet, David looked ahead to and spoke about Christ in the Psalms. Or look at Luke 24, where Jesus says that the Psalms speak about him. David was ultimately looking to Jesus as his rock and as the king, praying the promises, trusting in the promises about him. And he knew him only from afar, only by way of prophecy and type and shadow. We know him in fulfillment and fullness. And so we ought to do the same, but in a greater way. Look to Christ. Consider his everlasting reign. Trust God to fulfill all of his promises about Jesus. It was these promises about him that brought peace and comfort and rest to David. He's turning his eyes up and looking ahead to the rock, to King Jesus. And friends, this is what you and I can do. We can look back to him. We can look to him now on his throne. And this is what we must do. Find rest in the rock, in Christ, the Lord, the Savior, the King. Dwell in his tent. And that will ultimately lead you forth and finally to rejoice. That's where it leads David, and that's what I want us to consider forth and finally tonight, rejoice. Look again with me at verse 8. David closes with these words, "So I will ever sing praises to your name as I perform my vows day after day." Notice the contrast between the opening of the psalm and the closing of the psalm. When Psalm 61 opens, David is crying with a faint heart, far from God. And then almost shockingly and quickly as it closes, he's vowing to sing praise forever. He's promising to rejoice, to keep his commitments day after day. You see, David didn't just get through this time. In fact, we don't even know if he is through it yet. We don't know if his circumstances have changed between verse 1 and verse 8. But by God's grace, he has used this as an opportunity to draw near to God, to look outside of himself, an opportunity for prayer, an opportunity to cling to God's character and promises, to cling to the coming Savior and King. And the result is that it seems his faith has been strengthened. And he's now resolved afresh and anew to live for God. He's turned to joyful praise. And it hurts and it's so challenging, but so often God uses trials and pain and loneliness in this way to force us to look outside of ourselves, to look up, to look to the Lord for refuge, to look to Christ and rest in him. So often he uses this faintness and these trials to drive us to the rock, to make us cry out for the rock, to not rely on anything or anyone else, but to say, lead me to the rock. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. Brothers and sisters, in this world where you often find yourselves at the ends of the earth, crying out with a faint heart, where should you go? What will you do? Is there a remedy? Well, Psalm 61 answers yes. The whole of God's word answers with an amazing, resounding yes. With good news, yes, there is an answer, there is a remedy. The Lord Jesus Christ, the rock, the King who lives, the King who is enthroned forever, who is loving and faithful, who is a rock that is higher than you and me, who is a tower against the enemies of sin and Satan and death, who in order to take the throne, to be our rock, left glory and came to earth, who knew far deeper distress, far greater distance from God, far greater pain, who cried out with a faint heart and suffered for us on the cross in order to bring sinners under the shelter of his wings, to turn them from sin and fear and faintness to rest and joy. He did all of this to be our rock, to be your rock. Jesus is the rock. He is the only rock. Go to him. Trust in him. Find refuge and salvation and life and joy in him. And if you're listening tonight and you don't know what that means, or you don't know him or trust him as your rock, I want to urge you to give up any other rocks that you might look to and cling to, and see him as the one and only true rock and refuge who can save you from your sin, who can actually comfort and strengthen you and your heart and give you true joy and rest forever. And all of us call out to the Lord. Call out to God, lead me to him, lead me to the rock, lead me to Christ, show him to me and let me know him and trust him and believe in him. He has come to earth in order to be a rock and a refuge, to be the ultimate faithful, loving King forever. He has been and he will be a refuge for all who look to him, and he is and he will be reigning from his throne on high forever with faithfulness and steadfast love. And so, friends, rest in him. Rejoice in him. Cry out to him. Remember him. Rest in the rock. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for, in your providence, leading David to this place where he would cry out to you in this way and pen these words by your Spirit so that we might learn from them, so that we might more clearly understand the suffering of Christ and the way in which he is our only rock and refuge, the way in which he is our king, our ultimate hope. And Lord, we do ask again to lead us to him, lead us to the rock. And Lord, even if we don't feel distant or afraid or weak tonight, you know our frame, and you know the number of our days, you know the number of hairs on our head. You know we are weak and how much we need you and how often we look for other rocks in our own foolishness. And so, Lord, forgive us and help us and lead us to Christ. And may you be the one who receives the honor and praise. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.